All right. Praise the Lord. Good morning on this snowy March the 13th. Lord's Day Sunday morning. I never thought it'd snow 5 to 6 inches yesterday, but it did. And if it wasn't enough for that, then we got daylight savings time. And yeah. I'm telling you, this is one of them mornings. And then I had a flat tire on the way to church this morning, so something good must be coming, and whether it does or whether it don't, I'm just going to say it's good to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's Psalms 123, I believe. Let me look at that real quick. No, it's Psalms 122. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And, make some people glad, some sad, some mad. But I'm glad to be in the house of God today. Amen. And the way things is looking, our exodus may be coming up. I don't know how it could get any worse. Things are going on right now that ought not be going on. And the only way I can explain them is this Bible has to be fulfilled. We're teaching out of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 10. Last week, we really just used one verse, the very first verse. And it speaks about Paul's burden for his people. And he mentions something there in verse 2. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Paul explains the burden in verse 1, and then he explains the problem here in verse 2, also in verse 3, but we're going to stay with verse 2 right now. But the problem was that they, having eyes they couldn't see, having ears they couldn't hear, having a heart they couldn't believe. And Paul knew this himself because he used to be in the same predicament. He ran into Jesus and had to ask him who he was. And then he got wondrously and gloriously saved. The Bible said immediately he preached Jesus. But looking upon his people, he could see their problem. And their problem was they were going without God.
Right.
And I know a lot of people today are going without God. You can't go too far without God. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly right.
My prayer is always that God will keep his church going, keep his church growing for the glory of God, that it will. But Paul here, he's got a burden for his people, and he sees their problem. And if anybody could see their problem, Paul could. And he said, "I bear them record." In other words, he said, I see in them what I used to be. He said they got a zeal. He had a zeal. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he was accomplishing all kind of things, but they weren't what he needed to be doing. They were all things, that he shouldn't have been doing, but he didn't know it till he got saved. And a lot of people fit this category of this description in verse number 2. There's a lot of people today that have a zeal of God. The Amish. I talk to the Amish a lot. And they do make a lot of sacrifice. I commend them. I salute them. I do. They're serious about their faith. But I'm just telling you that without the blood of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. And they have the zeal. They have the works. They have everything except the thing they need the most.
Right.
And that's salvation.
Amen.
And Paul speaks about salvation in this chapter. And he mentions about confession in verse 9, believing in verse 10, calling in verse 13, preaching in verse 14, and faith in verse 17. A lot of things in this one chapter. We want to take our time and try to cover them.
Yeah.
That zeal of God. Can you think about, you got Muslims, they got a zeal. Man, they're willing to drive a plane into a building and shout out Allah Akbar. They got a zeal, but not according to knowledge.
That's right.
You got Buddhists. Man, they got a zeal. They think that They're going to be reincarnated and come back as something else. And be, you know what? I'm glad, praise God, God had something better in mind. They may not understand, but if they ever do, they can get it. They can get what God has for them.
Right.
He noticed their zeal, and he also commented, not according to knowledge. Verse 3, they being ignorant. You know, you think about it, I was ignorant in school. I struggled. I learned, but I'm a slow learner. It took me longer to learn.
Yeah.
Others picked up on it just like that. I had to go to them to get help to catch up. But they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness because they weren't interested in God's righteousness. They had their own righteousness. Paul brings this out here. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And until you submit yourself to God, you're never going to have any righteousness. And I decided we forgot to pray. We won't do that right now. This daylight savings time, that clock and everything else. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us to be in your house. We ask your blessings, Lord, upon the teaching of your word, upon our efforts here today. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you've already done. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. Lord, we're so glad, Lord, that you're in charge. Lord, I'm looking at the affairs of men,
yes.
Lord, to make good decisions. And I know your word says it's not in man to direct his steps. Man cannot lead himself. He needs the help of God. But Lord, they don't want your help. And they learn, most of them, they learn from their mistakes. And some of them, they only get one chance to learn.
Yes.
And they're taken out. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your great mercies. Lord, that are new every morning, for your compassions that fail not. Bless and help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul talked about Israel. They just wouldn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. You know, our nation is in that same dilemma.
Right.
I believe God raised up America. And the reason I say that, Jesus said in John, no, he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he said, by their fruits you'll know them. And he's talking about false prophets there. But also by the fruits of the righteous you can know them. And America has always borne good fruit.
Yes.
I'm talking about every evangelist, every missionary, every great revival took place in America. And like a ripple went around the world and came back again. But there's not a lot going on in America today. It's getting more apostate. And they won't submit themselves. They know they need to do a Nineveh repentance. They know they need to be like Jonah. And you know, get back in touch with God. But they just won't do it. And Israel was in this same dilemma. They would not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I want to read verse 2 and verse 3 together. Paul talking about Israel, I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Right.
Man doesn't have any righteousness. The Bible talks about all of our righteousness, nothing but filthy rags. And it mentions that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in verse 4, he gives the solution to the problem. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the cure right there.
Yes.
You don't have to go no further than Christ to get saved, to get all the righteousness that you're going to need to be accepted in the sight of God. But you know, they had rejected Christ. They had crucified Christ. And even Saul was at enmity with Christ until he run into him. And he got good and straightened out. And they need to do the same thing that he did.
Yeah.
Now he goes where they can identify with. He starts in verse 5 here, talking about, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Now they could understand that. That's what they were looking for. when it come to righteousness, they was trying to keep the Ten Commandments. They was trying to follow the writing of Moses.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of faith in Moses. And they had a lot of faith in Abraham. And they said, we be Abraham's seed. And they were following Moses to the T.
Yeah.
And he said that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. They were just failing to live by them. I'm glad for grace. I can't keep the Ten Commandments.
Mm-mm.
And the Bible says if you break one, you're guilty of all. And they wasn't breaking just one. They was breaking more than one. But Paul here, in an effort to get through to Israel, he mentions Moses here. They listened when he mentioned that name Moses.
Right.
Verse 6. For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now he's making a quotation from Deuteronomy right here.
Yeah.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee,
yeah,
even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now he made a quotation out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 14. And he's got their attention by saying that. He brought Moses into this conversation because they would listen. And then he also brought up some Old Testament writing here that talks about the word is nigh thee.
Right.
It didn't do them no good. Let me look up a verse here real quick. Paul speaking, well, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. If he didn't, don't hold it against me. But here in the book of Hebrews, he mentions in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And he talked about this word being nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now Paul's talking about they got to understand that they can't get to God except through Christ. And he's going through Moses to get their attention, but he's also slipping in, you know, the seed here. And they're listening to him in this. And he goes on to say that if we shall confess, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Right.
Yeah, I confessed one day that I was a sinner.
Right.
And Brother Ed couldn't do it for me. He could tell me, Brother Ed, you need to confess you're a sinner.
Yeah.
And a lot of people really struggle doing that. I remember hearing about a man at the altar at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church. We was talking about that earlier. And George Chris, he's the pastor there. And the man was a sinner. And he wanted to be saved. And he came to the altar. And George got down there and worked with him on the altar. Brother George could tell that he was holding on to something.
Mm-hmm.
Brother George, being the wise man that he was, he told him, he said, admit to God you're a sinner. And the man wouldn't do it. And Brother George said, you're never going to get saved till you admit you're a sinner. And when he admitted he's a sinner, well, he got saved. He broke right there.
Yeah.
When he said, God, I'm a sinner. And that's brought out here in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The simplest plan right there. Confession's made with the mouth.
Yeah.
Belief is in the heart.
Right.
And believing that God raised him from the dead. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, we're still in our sins.
Yeah.
But God raised him up from the dead.
Yeah.
And today there's a lot of people that still don't believe that Jesus died. They don't believe he rose from the dead. They don't believe the word of God.
Yeah.
Trying to remember something come to my mind as I was talking like that. Our generation right now, I heard a man speaking this week, not at revival, but was listening to a man on the internet, and he was trying to get the Bible back in school, and the reason he's having so much difficulty was because that the children didn't believe in creation. They believed they'd been evolved, and he had to convince them of the fact they'd been created before he could go any further.
Right.
That's the kind of dilemma we've got going on today. And they believe, you know, that a Big Bang just started everything. And when you throw the creation out, it's kind of hard to have faith. And you know what? Paul here is trying to get faith here. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's hard to get somebody to do that. But if they can do that and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says, thou shalt be saved. And he went a little further in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know, God's greater than our heart. And God knows all things. And you can't half-heartedly get saved.
Right.
I remember the day I got saved. Matter of fact, I've got an anniversary coming up next month. But I remember the day I got saved, I thought if God didn't save me, I wasn't going to make it. I'm telling you, I was at the threshold. It was death or life. I'd gone as far as I could go.
Yeah.
I'd done all I know to do.
Right.
And I was desperate when I called upon God to save me. And I was desperate when I asked Him to forgive me. And I was desperate in my faith to believe what I was asked Him to do. And it wasn't no half-hearted request when I asked Him to forgive me and asked Him to save me. I put my heart in it.
Right.
He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You better believe I believe.
Yes,
and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, this is simple and yet it's complicated. It's so simple that even a child can believe God and be saved. And yet it's complicated that an adult struggles at it, strains gnats, swallows camels, all that stuff. But it is so simple that if you can get good and lost, and you'll have to have the Lord's help even to get lost. For the Bible says, godly sorrow, work of repentance, not to be repented of. You can't even get sorry for your sins without the help of God.
Right.
But I was sorry, and not only was I sorry, I had a godly sorrow. I was sorry to God that I'd sinned. I was always sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But this time I was sorry to God that I'd sinned. And I was lost, wanting to be saved, and it was so simple. A man told me the simplest plan of salvation I've ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong and come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, Wendell, I'd forgive him. He said, it's the same way with God.
That's right.
And with that very notion, I knelt down and called upon Him.
Yeah.
It's rich in mercy all that call upon Him. And I got wondrously, gloriously saved.
Yeah.
And I'm still saved, enjoying every minute of it.
Hey.
I'm telling you, boy, it's a wonderful thing to know you're saved.
Right. Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
This verse is in the Old Testament. I was thinking about it when you was going over this verse. Concerns the nation of Israel. It said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips,
but their heart's
far from me.
Yeah.
You know, our heart is made in such a way, there's a place that only God's Spirit can fill.
That's true.
That's right.
And when it's filled, then our lips are going to, you know,
we're
going to
let it
praise
out.
Him.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, let it out.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What Sister Bonnie brought out right there is also a good point. You fool man.
Yes.
But you can't fool God.
Right.
The Bible said God looks on the heart.
Yes.
And he said man looks on the outward appearance. He told Samuel that when he went to the sons of Jesse. And Samuel's ready to anoint the first one to be next king. And it ended up being David. And he said, you look on the outward. He said, I look on the heart.
Right.
And the Bible said God's greater than our heart and he knows all things.
Yes.
And it says here in 1 John, may have been the wrong chapter here.
I didn't raise up in time to read that notice that I got, but there's a busload of somebody had just had a wreck. You know, the they announce it out here on these things, and I just got up there, I just raised up when I heard that thing go off, and it was a busload of somebody, I don't know who it was. I don't know if it's...
Man, I've been reading a different
fighting,
book.
Over there, whether they're fighting or not. Right? You know, they're trying to leave their cities over there because Putin...
I know they are.
Yeah.
But in First John chapter 3, it mentions about the heart.
Yes.
And it says, for God, for our heart, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, do those things which are pleasing in His sight. But if condemnation, He said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. I'm glad there ain't no condemnation them in Christ Jesus. I haven't had any condemnation for a long time, and I thank the Lord for that. But that heart, that half-heartedness, Sister Bonnie mentioned about drawing nigh to God with the mouth, but the heart's far from Him.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said you can't have two masters. He said you'll love the one, hate the other. And, you know, I love the Lord with all my heart. I ain't going to deny it. I'll tell you right now, I love Him supremely.
Yeah.
And I could do without anything but Him. And there's other things I love, don't get me wrong. But I love Him supremely. And He's first on my list of things I love. But our heart is one thing that God knows our heart. Mm-hmm. We can say with our mouth, and our heart still be condemned, and all we're doing is living a lie. All we're doing is, drawing away from what we need to do. Get your heart right with God, and the rest of it just fall right in place. And Israel, they had a zeal, and they were half-heartedly serving God. Not with their whole heart, just what they wanted was all they was willing to do.
Paul really had a zeal for him, didn't he?
I'm telling you, buddy, Paul showed us it can be done.
Yes, that's right.
And he went through it. And you know what? He's a great example of the believer. He told Timothy I think it's 1 Timothy. He told him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, to be thou an example of a believer in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity.
Yeah.
And you know what? We need to be an example.
Yep.
And Paul was a great example.
Yes, he was.
Sure was. Yeah.
He went on here to say in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, God knows your heart. And He knows what you got your heart set on. Maybe you just got your heart set on just being a church member. But I'll tell you right now, if you want your heart set on being a child of God, you can get it. Or you can just be a good church member and fool everybody, including yourself. Because one day you're going to die. And you're going to give account to God. And on that day you're going to come up short.
Yeah, that's right.
But praise God, if you give your heart to the Lord, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what the first thing I did when I got saved, Bonnie? I started telling people.
That's right.
I got saved.
Could not wait to tell.
I run my mama down. I told my mama, I said, Mama, Mama, I got saved. She put a bony finger in my face. She said, when you get home, she said, look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. Told my daddy I got saved. My daddy said, I'm happy for you, son, but I don't want what you got. I told the men I worked with that I saved. But they started watching me, and they found out, boy, there was something real about what I said.
Yeah.
And a lot of those men rededicated their lives. A lot of those men got saved. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Yeah.
When you get saved, the best thing and the first thing you should do is go tell somebody.
That's right.
That the Lord has saved you. Now the devil's going to try to talk you out of it. But just remember this, the devil's a liar and the father of it. But if he could, he will. So that's why it's good to just keep telling people, praise God, I got saved. And you know, you can be a step ahead of the devil. He will try to talk you out of it. Verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Well, that's a quotation out of Isaiah chapter 45. I think it's verse number 22. And let me look there real quick. I believe it's right. That's Isaiah 45, verse number 24. You know, I might be ashamed of me, but I'll never be ashamed of Him. Amen.
Right.
And Jesus said if we was ashamed of Him, He'd be ashamed of us.
True.
And sometimes you do get put on the spot. And a lot of people, they melt when they're put on the spot. But praise God, we're saved by grace, sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Even if you fail to stand, having done all to stand, even if you fail to be a good ambassador, be a good witness, I'm glad it our merits ain't on us, it's on Him. Amen.
Yeah.
He's the one going to justify us. He's the one going to present us without spot, without blemish.
Yes.
But we really should strive to be bold. The Bible talks about the righteous are bold as a lion. And He said here in verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Yeah.
For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. So, you know, God's not a racist. You can be a Jew or you can be a Greek or you can be any other race or nationality. And God is rich unto all that call upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
Race is a big deal right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are using race for an advantage to sway laws and to get their way. But you know what? God made of one blood all nations of men, their bounds, their habitation, their time, therefore appointed. Race shouldn't have a part or a place in the work of God or anything else, but it does. There's some people, they ride the race horse all the way to the finish line.
That's right.
I just noticed on the internet earlier this morning a lady 50 years old that graduated this life. And I guarantee you she got the race matter straightened out. She was an activist. And you know, God, I'm glad He said He's rich unto all that call upon Him. I believe it's John 6:37 that Jesus said, whosoever cometh to Him, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He receives all that come to Him. And you know, it's kind of hard to miss out on heaven. I know a lot will, but it's hard to. And verse 13 is about as simple as you can get it. For whosoever, you can put your name right there.
Yeah.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that to be personally true because I did personally call upon the name of the Lord and I did get saved. And you know, I didn't have to have no help. I was in my bedroom all by myself. I wanted to get saved at church. I did. It was bigger than me. I couldn't wait till Sunday. I'm telling you, it's like a woman having a baby. Something had to give. And I hit the edge of that bed. I cried out to God. Confessed my sins that I was a sinner. And asked for mercy and found mercy. Found grace. Found forgiveness of sins. Because this one verse. For whosoever, I was a whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved.
Amen.
And I got saved. The devil's been trying to talk me out of it for 34 years and I'm still saved. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, the Bible tells us to resist the devil. It tells us not to give no place to him. Even though some have, we don't need to do it. And verse 14 mentions about the preaching. It says, now, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, the preacher's job is to proclaim the Word of God.
Amen.
And to proclaim the salvation of God.
Amen.
And let me see if I can find this. in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, it says that God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And preaching was chosen of God. And some preachers preach a little different than others do. Abraham Lincoln said he liked his preachers to preach like his fighting bees. And anyway, they can't hear without a preacher, verse 14 mentions. And you know, the missionary shows up, the evangelist shows up. I was in that revival meeting this week, and the very first night of that revival meeting, the altar filled one end of the other. And the last night of that, and there was some the second night, and the last night of that revival meeting, there was a lot of people went to the altar. And he asked, before he gave that invitation, every head to be bowed. And he asked for people to raise their hands that weren't saved. And I couldn't believe it. I bet he counted 30 hands. He said, thank God for that hand, for that hand, for that hand, for that hand, for that hand. It just kept going. And a lot of people went to the altar that Wednesday night. And he's talking about knowing that you're saved. And as we left that night, there was a family sitting behind me that had two sons. And their father had went to the altar. And their mother had went to the altar. And when we got ready to leave, I asked one of their sons, I said, what about you, buddy? I said, are you saved? He said, no. And I said, what are you waiting on? He said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, how long do you think you got? He said, well, I don't know that neither. I said, well, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow I may not get here, so today's really all you got. And I'm just trying to reason with him a little bit. And the other one, he said he wasn't saved too. They looked like, you know, it may have been his friend. They looked like he's pretty close to the same age. I don't know if they were brothers or not. But I said, buddy, let me ask you a question. I said, if you was going to die tomorrow, would you get saved today? He said, yeah. I said, you may die tonight. I just tried to instill. I told that one, I said, I'd be afraid to close my eyes tonight. Yeah. Take a chance, wake up in hell. Their mom and their dad both had a burden for them. And Jesus said a prophet's not without honor saving his own house and his own country. Sometimes a total stranger can speak to your family better than you can.
That's true.
But how shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God for preachers.
Yeah.
Being one myself, I wouldn't wish it on nobody. I wouldn't. I mean, I have to admit, I love preaching. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad God counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. But it ain't no cakewalk. And you got to have God put wind in your sail, or you ain't going to go too far. I can tell you that right now. You got to study. You got to pray. You got to realize you're just a messenger boy. God's got to put it in your heart for you to be able to preach it. And a lot of good preachers. Well, thank God America's got many good preachers.
Yes.
And many good missionaries.
Yes.
Are working even right now in foreign fields, publishing and preaching the Word of God. Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach? You know, every preacher needs to listen real good right here, except they be sent. And I'm glad to be pastor here. A man gave me the phone number of this church. I showed up over here one day, and unannounced and unknown. And, you know, I wanted to be the pastor, and I wanted to be God's will. Matter of fact, when I was asked to be the pastor, I said, let's pray about it. Make sure, you know, it's the Lord's will. But I do believe that I was sent to be pastor here, and that's why I'm here.
Right.
And it says, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm reading my daughter's Bible in my devotions right now. And she had wrote over top of this verse, her daddy. And boy, it just tears your heart out to see all the things, you know, that you told her to read, that she did read it. And she put notes up there over it. But she put my daddy and put a heart out there. And I don't claim to have no beautiful feet, but I'll tell you what, the feet that bring the gospel are beautiful to God because you know that they will go where God tells them. They will do what God tells them. and they will deliver the message of God. And verse 16, Paul says, "For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report?" You see, when a preacher delivers the message, when he preaches the gospel, they have to receive it and they have to believe it. And verse 17 really puts an emphasis on that. He says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If the preacher will preach the word of God, and God can move upon the word of God, the Holy Spirit, you know, people can get saved, they can get help. But, you know, if he's going to, and I'm okay with giving testimony, I'm okay with telling about events and stuff, but really Paul told Timothy to preach the word.
Right.
Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I was reading in my devotion this year, and I believe it was in Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy, I believe, where it mentions about a seasoned word. And, of course, if I was reading in this, I could turn to it. I did underline it. And maybe I underlined it in this. I don't know if I did or not. But that caught my attention, a seasoned word. And I think God does put a little salt and pepper on that word. Amen? Make it more desirable. I don't like egg without some salt and pepper on it, is what I'm trying to say. I might have underlined it in this book. But it mentioned about a seasoned word. That really spoke out to me. Sometimes I'll transfer it over to this Bible when I see something like that really good. I may not have. But God's word needs to be seasoned. And he said, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world." You know, God, that's one of the things the Lord talked about for the end time,
right,
was this gospel will be preached in all the world for witness. And thank God for a Bible. That scripture I'm talking about is in Matthew 24. I'm looking somewhere else for something else. I'm going back. Matthew 24. The Lord talked about this gospel. We'll be preaching all the world for a witness. And I believe, you know, that we've reached that through the means of live streaming. I believe it's verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." There in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. But the Lord here mentioned about, "And their words unto the ends of the world." We're about down to the end of the world. I believe it's Ephesians talks about of whom the ends of the world are come. That's about where we're at.
Yes,
everything's
are.
About coming to an end.
Praise the Lord for that.
Hallelujah.
Get us out of here.
Amen to that too. Amen. "Upon whom the ends of the world are come," I believe is where it's worded there in Ephesians. "Upon whom the ends of the world are come." That's where we're at. Everything has gone about as far as it can go.
Yes, it has.
And the earth is saturated with the gospel. I don't know dead air here. But unto us, whom the end of the world has come, I think it's in Ephesians. And you know, this world, all the earth and their words are the end of the world. Verse 19, But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You know, the Jews, they're kind of like a lot of churches. They think, you know, that they're the only ones going and everybody else, you know, is wrong and they're right. And you know, God's Word says otherwise, but they won't accept what God's Word says.
Right.
Verse 20, he says, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. God's plan for Israel was that they'd be saved. They just couldn't accept that.
Yeah.
They couldn't receive it. And yet he's got his hands still stretched forth to them and calling them. And like I said, Paul here does a good job here in Romans chapter 10 of explaining salvation, the clearest passage I know in the Bible. And there are some passages in here. Acts 16, 31, believe on the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he really got it pinned down here real good in Romans chapter 10. And you know, even with the desire of this great preacher for Israel to be saved, you know, I'm glad old brother Bob Malkin's saved, but he's got a burden for his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's like 70 to 80 years old, and he said his dad told him he just didn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And old Bob, bless his heart, he got in. And you know, Israel can be saved. Matter of fact, this next chapter that we're going to get into, it says all of Israel will be saved. But I'll tell you what, it'll be by the hard way.
Yeah.
They're going to go through the tribulation.
Yes, they are.
They're going to learn the hard way. Well, praise God, we get to get out before that hits. But we got grace. We got in on the age of grace.
Yeah.
But Israel, they've rejected grace. And they're going to find out they've been better off. Boy, got in. Old brother Bob, if the Lord was to come, he's going to get out. But his dad's going to have to go through it. And you know, I don't want anybody to go through that great tribulation. But those that do go through it, you know, they deserve it. They turned down the grace of God. They turned down the love of God.
Yeah.
They turned down mercy.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you what, buddy, they're going to get their payment in full on that mistake too. Bible talks about in the tribulation, men will seek death and it will flee from them.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans 11:26, it says, so all Israel shall be saved, as it's written, there will come out a sign, the deliverance shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And God's going to take care of them somehow. They're going to learn the hard way, but somehow he's going to get them to Calvary. Somehow he's going to get them saved. And I'm glad I got in the easy way. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop right there. And that's a good lesson. Amen.
Yes, it was. Next week's even going to be better, ain't it?
Yeah.